Welcome back on Radio Row at SEC Media Days, Day 3. J.J. Jackson and Javon Cutler hanging out with the former Alabama quarterback, Greg McElroy, now with ESPN and the SEC Network, and a new radio show, Greg. How's that been going?
It's been good, man. I mean, we're having a blast. I mean, I love this state. I always have. I mean, like we've talked about before, like my granddad went to Auburn, never had any issues at all in respecting and appreciating what Auburn brings to the state and what Alabama brings to the state, and I think we now kind of have that in a radio show format with me and Cole. We're going to have some fun. I mean, it's obviously a different play than what I've kind of done in the past. I mean, standard morning drive for us was like, hey, let's talk about fun topics. And now it's like, let's talk as deep in the weeds about football as we can. last night, I mean, I was staying up late. I don't know if you guys were. I was watching Giannis win the championship, right? It was amazing. Incredible. I mean, just like, absolutely incredible. Like, I couldn't have been happier. Probably the best NBA finals I've watched since Cleveland Golden State.
Yeah.
And at that point of the playoffs, I always watch. Not a whole lot before that, but at that point, we didn't even mention it. Like, because we're a football show.
Right.
And I think that's true to our vision, and that's where we want it to be. And we want to cover the Southeast and beyond, and that's where we want the show to go from here on out.
Take our Auburn listeners back to your playing career, obviously, in college, more than a decade ago. People obviously are going to remember that 2010 Iron Bowl. Your recruitment process, though, was Auburn ever on the radar, or what do you recall from those days?
No, they weren't. I had kind of a unique recruiting experience. I only started 1 year in high school, so I was a little bit late.
How
to the
that?
Party. Yeah. The guy in front of me is Chase Daniel. He's playing like year 12 in the league. So like he's obviously a really good player. So Auburn at that point had already signed Neil Cottle.
Yeah.
And I know Neil well and see Neil actually quite a bit here around Birmingham. He's doing a great job, I believe, in construction and doing just an awesome job. He's like a fast riser. He's like on the Birmingham top 30, under 30 or whatever. Great dude. But they had taken him at that point. And I was kind of left as the backup plan to a lot of different schools. So if I looked at my offer list in like August, it was like 10. And it was schools like Houston and Toledo and SMU and Kansas, smaller schools. And then a lot of guys made their decisions. I played my senior year, had a really good year. And then I reevaluated their offer list at the end of the year, and it was like 35. You know, and it was all like, oh, well, Tebow went here. Oh, Bama's open. You know, oh, well, Michigan took this guy, or Michigan missed on this guy. Oh, Michigan's open. Oh, Tennessee missed on a guy. Perfect. Tennessee's open. Stuff like that. So I was an afterthought for a lot of folks, but I ended up working out great once I took my visits.
It certainly did at Alabama. I want to follow up with that. We're talking about also this new radio show that you've got going here in Birmingham. You've got a lot of time doing the SiriusXM deal, but now to more of a terrestrial setting. To now be able to host a show like this, does it ever, like, hit you, particularly a moment like this morning, where your former head coach is coming to sit down and do an interview with you, the player, now getting to ask him the question?
What's funny is it is a little bit, at first, yes, when you're asking the questions, it was really uncomfortable. And for all the coaches, because, like, you know, all these guys competed against all these guys, you know, have gotten and developed relationships with a lot of these guys, but asking them questions for the first time is kind of a different world. I mean, it's not really like – I didn't go to broadcast school, so I don't know how to ask a dang question. Don't ask yes or no questions. Basically what they told me, and let's figure that out. But it was – it's kind of got to the point now where I've been in this role now for 8 years or 7 years, going on eight this upcoming fall. So I'm a little bit more conditioned to be okay with it. But I always try, especially when I ask Coach Saban, probably more than anything else, I want to talk to him about things that are bigger than just his team.
Right.
It's easy to say, hey, what's going on at – corner, you know, or hey, what's going on at wide receiver? We can ask those questions, and sometimes we do, but I always think he's really thoughtful about the bigger picture. And I think even the most diehard Auburn fan will respect the fact that Nick Saban, in a lot of ways, is going to speak intellectually about the betterment of the sport. And I do think he's thoughtful about transfers, he's thoughtful about NIL. He's thoughtful about these other things. So when I talk to him, I don't ever really talk that much about actual football.
Right.
We talk about big picture items. Like, I remember a few years ago, it was about three linemen 3 yards downfield. You know, what are your thoughts on that, coach? You know, defensive guy, what are your thoughts? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, and he's always given really good, I guess, a lot of really good answers to that. And frankly, I'm going to ask Harson the same stuff. Because I've known Ryan for, gosh, a few years now. We went and spent 2 days with him at Boise. I was just always blown away by Boise State ability to be highly competitive against teams that they weren't anywhere near as talented as.
Colder than you expected up there?
It was in August, so it wasn't
too bad. A little bit better.
It was beautiful. Yeah, it was beautiful. But it was there's something about the culture up there, and there's something about when you sit down with him, he's extremely thoughtful, and everything is for a reason. And I just have gravitated to him for a very long time. So when I found out he was Auburn's coach, I was so pumped. I was really, really excited. And I'm really excited for him to take the stage tomorrow because I think he, like Saban, has been around the block enough to be able to speak from a bigger picture, a 30,000-foot perspective about what's best for football moving forward.
Let's flash back to 2010, Greg. What are some fond memories of SEC Media Days that you have playing for the Crimson Tide?
You know, what's funny is, like, Media Days was such a whirlwind. You know, you never see it. Like, when you're a Bama player or an Auburn player, the only thing you know Media Days to be is the chaos that is the lobby. Yeah. And that's, like, you're never going to see it when it's a day where it's a school is not going to have quite the fanfare. So I always thought, I was like, this place is freaking nuts.
Yeah.
You know, that was the first reaction. But I don't know, man. It's, like, I always really enjoyed it because I found it as a great opportunity because we have time. In Media Days, you have a ton of time. So, like, yeah, I'd answer questions all the time about Ingram or Julio or Rolando or Coach or whatever it may be. I didn't often have an opportunity to mention Drew Davis, our right tackle. I didn't have an opportunity to mention Barrett Jones, who at that point was a redshirt freshman guard. Didn't have a ton of chances to talk about the young wide receiver that was going to come into his own here in a couple of years named Kevin Norwood. You know, stuff like that I thought was really neat. And Media Days, because of how much – and how many people are here covering it, being able to talk about some guys that don't get the love they deserve, I think it's a really great opportunity to take advantage of that.
Well, we want to get you out of here with Bo Nix. And so first part of the question when you look at Auburn's quarterback is, we'll get to the on-the-field product in just a moment. You like the sweet tea deal with Milo's and that
I would have gone Milo's burger. I'm
okay.
I'm not
a sweet tea guy.
I would have gone just straight sauce, like Milo's sauce. Like, I mean, that's just me. I'm not a sweet tea guy. I am originally from California, but grew up in Texas for most of my adolescent years. Sweet tea was a late addition to the cycle. So if I were to rank it right now, for me, it'd be pretty far down the list, which I know is like blasphemy. but it was not my go-to. So if I were Bo, I would have gone with just straight Milo sauce because that you could put on anything and make it taste pretty dang good.
What does Bo Nix need to do to succeed in 2021?
I think he just needs to get his confidence back. You know, I think that was the biggest thing. He didn't play confidently last year. He played like a true freshman. Mm-hmm. He really did. And I think what's funny is a lot of people, and I said this last year, I think it was around this time, and got into some trouble for it. People got real mad, and a lot of Auburn folks got mad. And I said, look, don't expect Bo Nix to make a huge leap this year. And they're like, well, he's going into year two. Like, quarterbacks going into year two make big leaps. I said, yeah, but this has not been a normal year. Like, he hasn't had spring. He had a weird summer. He had an abbreviated fall camp, and you're expecting him to make a leap that we would normally see from a second-year quarterback. It's not going to happen. And I think people now realize that he didn't really develop the chemistry with his receivers that he probably needed to over the course of the summer. Not his fault. It's COVID.
Right.
He didn't develop the chemistry or the confidence in the offensive line. That's why he rolled out to his right, threw off his back foot so much, because they were in and out of the lineup throughout fall camp with COVID. Like, he was put in an impossible situation last year. And the expectation level for him is remarkably high, as it should be. The guy's really talented. But he's got to just stay within himself. He's got to regain his confidence. He's got to trust his supporting cast. And he's got to throw the ball with more conviction. Like, he needs to stand in the pocket and drive the football. And if he does that, I really believe that he'll have a special season. I think he can do that for sure. But he's got to do – it starts up here, mm-hmm. between your ears, man. Like, quarterback, the most powerful weapon you have as a quarterback. Not your arm, not your legs, not your accuracy, not your ability to make guys miss. It's whether or not you believe in yourself to get the job done. And I don't know if he always believed in himself last year. I think he lost it a little bit, but Brian Harsin's going to bring that confidence back, and I think he's going to have a better year as a result.
And Auburn fans are hoping that Bo Nix has a better year this upcoming season, and the confidence is there. Greg, listen, we always do appreciate the
Absolutely.
Time.
You got it,
we know that
so
you've
much.
Got a big fall coming up with football back, a baby number two on
number
the way coming as well.
Way.
So
yeah.
Congrats on everything, and
I
thank you again for the time.
Thank you, guys. Thank y'all.
Greg McElroy joining us here on Sports Call.